And now it's time for the Wild Side News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
Need a hit of nature, but the temperature is just too hot? Wish you could see the wild creatures, but you're stuck in the big city? On a vacation and looking for something exciting to do? Well, we have the perfect answer to all of these quests. And you may find out even more when we take a day going inside a natural history museum. It's all for you. So put on your walking shoes and get ready to explore the many mysteries making history at your natural history museum when your voice of the earth returns here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wild Side News. And now, Sydney Wildsmith.
I'm not sure exactly how it all began, this love affair with nature. One of my earliest aha moments as a child was when I was looking at an ant and I had a magnifying lens. I remember noticing it had three parts. One was obviously its head, then it had this middle part, and of course that long tapered third part. And with the lens, I discovered that they were attached. Now, do understand I'm probably four here, but it was a first inkling of the wonders of science. My dad took us to the downtown Milwaukee Public Library, and I managed to track down a book about ants. And lo and behold, there, in bold black and white line drawings, was exactly what I'd discovered. Ants had three parts and were attached by little connectors. I quickly drew this discovery, and I've been discovering things ever since. We also visited museums regularly, thank God, and each time we'd go to Chicago to visit the relatives, we visited the wondrous museums there. Museums were a candy shop of the mind to me, one interesting discovery after another, and the legendary Field Museum of Natural History was one of my favorites. Before long, I learned that one of my favorite uncles, Uncle Martin, worked at the museum. And whenever I'd meet Uncle Martin, I felt like I was in the presence of a great man, a man of science, who knew the deep truth about the secrets of the world. And I have been a museum junkie, particularly natural history museums, all of my life. This past week, I went inside the newly expanded San Diego Natural History Museum, and I wandered around, talking with visitors. And I think you'll agree, there's lots to learn at a natural history museum. So that's where we're going the rest of this show, as soon as we take a look at this week's news. So first, the news. Well, it's official. The giant panda baby born almost a month ago at Washington's National Zoo is a giant little boy. At 1 month, little fella is now 12 inches long and weighs 1.8 pounds. Veterinarians at the zoo were able to entice the mom, Mei Jing, out for a fresh bamboo snack, which allowed the little guy to have his first official checkup. He is doing just fine. The pandas, which are related to the raccoons, are extremely endangered and so are being held captive for breeding. And it's working. Just yesterday, the San Diego Zoo, here in San Diego, announced that Bei Yun, pregnant with twins, delivered one small giant panda at the zoo on Wednesday. So far, everything seems to be going well for mom and her new little baby. No word yet on the status of the twin. And remember last week we reported that some serious questions were being raised about the authenticity of that ivory-billed woodpecker sighting in Arkansas? The ivory-billed woodpecker, for anyone who let this story sail by unnoticed, has not been sighted for over 40 years, then was spotted and after months of effort, officially declared rediscovered. That is, until last week when two ornithologists challenged the authenticity and made news in so doing, claiming that the short video of the reported ivory billed could in fact be, just a pileated woodpecker. Now, when scientists start to bicker, whole reputations are put on the line. So quickly, enter the Cornell Laboratory of Anthropology with audio recordings from the sightings, and voila! The skeptics are stunned by the sounds, become instant advocates for the authenticity of the ivory build, and it's over. John Fitzpatrick, director of the Cornell Laboratory of Ornithology, responsible for sending off the recordings, agreed that perhaps he should have done it earlier, but summed it all pretty nicely when he said, "This was science in action, at its messy best. How sweet it is." And now, our energy war update. The global quest for oil, which appears to have set the new standard for the price of a barrel of oil at $60, also is heating up tensions between the two new oil rivals, China and the United States. With one of China's leading state-run oil companies attempts to do a cash buyout of Unocal, America's eighth-largest oil company, in direct competition with Chevron, which had a bid pending at $17 billion, a sudden tug-of-war has been going on as U.S. politicians stepped in to quash the deal. CNOOC, the Chinese company, withdrew its offer following intense negotiations amongst the dealmakers when they realized that with such political backwash, chances were that a deal may never actually come to closure. Needless to say, a new level of distrust is now operating that could result in other economic turmoil in the months ahead. Several people who worked for CNOOC said company officials had grown increasingly grim in recent days and were, quote, visibly angry at how the deal had collapsed. With the Chinese president scheduled to be visiting with President Bush in the days ahead, be prepared to get a swift kick in the pants from the Chinese government, who appear to be on a roll right now. The bad news is there's bad news. The good news is we're at least talking about it. It seems that there is a dramatic change going on along the Pacific coast that is resulting in very significant decreases in various animal populations. As ocean systems change, perhaps as a result of global warming, the wondrous intricacies of the ocean community may be experiencing a sudden collapse, or maybe it is a normal, yet quite alarming, natural fluctuation. To begin with, phytoplankton levels along the Oregon coast are off by 75% compared with a year ago. The waters are 5 to 7 degrees warmer, which affect winds and currents critical to bringing cooler waters near shore where phytoplankton, a plant, thrives. With this decline, many species dependent upon this first tier of the food chain are starving. Julia Parrish, a seabird ecologist with the University of Washington in Seattle, observed, "The bottom has fallen out of the coastal food chain." An unusually high number of bird deaths are being reported as well, and researchers on the Farallon Islands west of San Francisco have noted a 90% drop in the number of nesting cormorants in 1 year. Salmon have experienced a 20 to 30% drop in juvenile salmon off the coasts of Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia compared to the six-month average. Scientists cannot say with authority that these are examples of global warming, but do state quite clearly that if this trend continues for a second year, a serious change to the ocean's living dynamic may be underway. And that's the news. With stories like those we hear in the news that keep reporting on dramatic changes in the living systems, there just may be a glimmer of silver lining in all of this. It just may be that an interest in nature is re-emerging. And when I say an interest, what I really mean is an awareness that it exists, and that it is a system that is extremely complex in so many ways, not only just numbers and populations, but as well to our sense of life itself. This week, I visited the San Diego Natural History Museum. It is the newly expanded museum, and they have some pretty exciting new ways of interpreting nature. But I will report this. As a lifelong natural history museum guy, I have never experienced such a pulsing interest in nature ever in a museum. I visited on Tuesday, and granted it was a free day in Balboa Park, but the museum was packed, and I mean packed. And as you're about to see, the visitors come to the museum with a purpose and a passion. Perhaps this is the best news I've reported since I started reporting to you here on the Wild Side News. So now we take a journey together and meet the visitors on a hot summer day who are jamming in the halls of the San Diego Natural History Museum.
Well, it's a relatively hot day in San Diego. It's probably about 80, which isn't bad, all things considered. But, you know, sometimes it gets to be a little too hot. And a good place to go when it gets that way is indoors. And a great place to go if you'd like to learn about nature is to head to your local Natural History Museum. So that's where I am today. I'm actually doing a show here from the San Diego Natural History Museum, which is a new facility that they've expanded from the old Natural History Museum. And the place is packed. It's really astonishing. There are thousands and thousands of people. It's almost hard to walk through here. And they're quite interested in what's going on. So today what we're going to do is find out on a hot day what you might discover by going to your Natural History Museum. We're going to find that out by talking to people who... There you go, see? People who are here. So, welcome to the San Diego Natural History Museum. One of the great things about Natural History Museums is the fact that they have these great focused exhibitions. So here at the museum today, they have backyard monsters. So this is stepping into the world of insects, bigger than life. And then also in San Diego, we had the terrible wildfires that devastated the whole area. So they have a special exhibit that kind of interprets what those fires were about and how they affected our community. And then as well, a local exhibit that focuses on the fossil hunters of San Diego. So by coming to the museum, you can learn what's literally in your backyard. It's a great place, but as we're seeing today, so many people here this summer are visiting the museum from all over the country. And that's exciting. Where are you from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
And you're at the museum here. Is this just because you're doing the museums, or do you like Natural History Museums?
We've been to other Natural History Museums, but we're visiting in San Diego, so we thought it'd be a nice place to stop by.
Do you have something that you like most about nature?
I like all the violent stuff, I guess, like the storms and things like that. I think it's really fascinating.
Well, they cover that in some respects here. How about the living elements, the birds? Do you have any favorite animals? Is there a favorite animal?
We haven't really seen a lot of animals around in the museum yet, so.
What is it about nature that you happen to enjoy?
Basically it's beauty and, like, how it was created and everything, how it's so, so many colors, and just the way the ecosystem just seems to, like all the animals all seem to react kind of together, and it's really put together really well. It seems how it just goes like that by itself.
I suppose in school and things and on TV and everywhere else, you start hearing about some of the things that are happening to our Earth and living systems. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, I do, especially the wildfires. There's so many of them. I'm sure it really affects all the ecosystem and everything like that. Yeah.
I'm looking at you next. You know that, don't you? Did you get out once in a while where you're in Baltimore?
Sort of.
So when you get out, sort of, do you ever look at bugs and nature?
Yeah, when, like, at school, we go around the woods in certain classes.
What are you finding interesting at the museum?
The different kinds of animals and the wildfires.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. So from the main floor, we're heading out down the steps to the backyard monsters. You can hear everybody walking around here. There's a lot of people. Here it is, backyard monsters. Nice lime green sign with little creepy crawly black creatures painted around the edges. quite an exciting thing. Okay, well, as you can see, things are picking up down here. So, let's get started as we go into the backyard matches. Now standing in front of this huge monarch butterfly, and it has a wingspan of about 20 feet, and a proboscis that and the head moves back and forth with the eyes, and it's a pretty amazing exhibit. Yeah. Come on over here so I can see both of you at the same time.
Do you like the butterfly exhibit? Do you think that's sad that they pinned the butterfly?
I like that over there so far.
The big, the great big huge monarch butterfly?
Yeah.
Why is that?
It's just so pretty.
Pretty? Now, have you just seen monarchs once in a while outdoors? You know, in nature?
Sometimes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite type of animal that you'd like to see here at the Natural History Museum?
No.
No? And how about you? What are you enjoying today?
I'm enjoying this butterfly.
The butterfly? Of course, you just got here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what, are you from San Diego?
Yeah.
Yeah? Is this your first time at the museum?
No.
When you come here before, what have you liked most?
Everything.
Everything, that's great.
We come here a lot.
Do you? Uh-huh.
Think of the animals upstairs, Annie. Remember this ones that are stuffed? Like the bobcat and some of the beautiful birds? You like that part, huh?
I like the mountain lion the most.
Why is that? Why do you like mountain lions?
Because they're just so pretty.
They are beautiful, aren't they? And they're big, aren't they?
Yeah.
The tail is probably bigger than you are.
I know.
Yeah. The tail is bigger than she is. Of the mountain lion.
Of the mountain lion.
Yeah.
Annie, do you want to tell him the difference between a butterfly and a moth? Maybe he doesn't know how to tell the difference.
Oh, I'd like to know that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Because butterflies have fuzzier antenna than butterflies do.
Moths do. How do you tell when they're resting? What's the difference with their wings?
Butterfly's wings are up like this, and moth wings are like this.
Oh, wow. So the butterfly wings, when they're resting, are straight up, right, and together? Wow. And the moth wings are fun. Now, how'd you learn that?
I learned it in class.
In class? Uh-huh.
You want to tell him who gave an oral report on monarch butterflies in the first grade?
Me.
Really? Wow.
That's quite a lot.
So what do you know about monarch butterflies?
Do animals throw up if they eat them?
Yes.
Because they taste terrible, don't they? If you're
yeah,
like a bird.
They eat milkweed.
They do eat milkweed,
so
don't they?
Does that make them have a poison?
Yes.
So does another butterfly try to look like the monarch? Remember?
Yes. Let's call it that.
Oh, the mimic?
Yeah, remember.
It's the viceroy.
Viceroy, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, I appreciate your talking, and have a great visit. Thanks.
I think it's nice that you're doing it.
Exhibit. You know, some Atlas beetles, and they're very anatomically correct, and they're facing off, as a matter of fact, here. Now, these guys have got to be, let me think here, about 14 feet long, 14 easily. So they're getting ready to fight. So there must be some extraordinary animal behavior that's going on here, communication between these two creatures here. Pretty fascinating stuff. You're at the museum today?
Yes.
And are you from San Diego or some other place?
Actually, we are from outside of San Diego, up in Ramona.
Oh, Ramona, that's beautiful up
yes.
there. Yeah. Now, why are you here today?
Because I wanted to bring the kids down and see some of the neat big bugs.
It seems like the bugs have a lot of interest by a lot of folks.
Yeah. Yes, they do. Yes, there's lots of people here.
Now, do you like bugs?
No.
There's a lot of people who don't like bugs who are here.
As a matter of fact, I just saw the Black Widows. I just killed one of those in my backyard. I didn't need to see that, but...
Wow.
there's a lot of other things that I haven't seen.
Now, you're here with a couple of kids, are you?
Mine.
Okay, and how are they taking to all this? What do you think?
What do you think? I think they're having a very good time.
Very good time. Great. Have you come here once in a while?
This is actually our first time being down here.
And what do you think of this museum?
I think it's awesome. Yeah. I really do. I think it's wonderful. The whole Balboa Park is wonderful.
Yeah, it's a gift.
And I'm sorry to say that this is our first time coming. We'll be coming down.
Back.
Yes, we'll be definitely coming back.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Hey, you guys.
So when we continue, we hear the voices of the common nature people who bring their wisdom to the wonder when I return with your Voice of the Earth here on the Wild Side News.